Okay, Parshas Balotzecha is quite a packed parsha in many senses of the word, and we have the opportunity to focus on Shlishi, and Shlishi focuses itself on one specific concept which is of great interest in many different ways and has applications that go beyond itself, and that is the notion of Pesach Sheni. So here we find the Parsha, the third Aliyah of the Parsha, brings up this topic in a fascinating way, and it starts off Perek Tes, beginning of Perek Tes, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe, B'midbar Sinai, B'shana Hashenis, V'seisam Me'eretz Mitzrayim, B'chodesh HaRishon, and more. So here we have the first time now that they're up to Pesach again. So they had Pesach Mitzrayim, and now, a year later, so they're up to Pesach again, and there are certain halachos that need to be clarified. And Rashi points out that this is really the beginning of what is discussed in Sefer Bamidbar, even though Bamidbar actually starts with talking about the next month, talking about what happened in Iyar. But this is an example, or maybe one of the sources, for the idea of Ein Muktam u'muchar b'Torah, that the Torah does not commit itself only to chronological events, a chronological retelling, telling things in order, but as Rav Shlomo Shmuel Hirsch phrases it, that it arranges it based on the inner meaning. And Rashi here says that the significance was that this was not the opening of Sefer B'Midbar, because it's a embarrassment to the Jewish people on some level, because all the other 40 years, they didn't bring a Korban Pesach except this one. So for that reason, it gets placed away from the beginning. And some of the Sfarim ask why Rashi needs any additional reason. He already said, "En muktam u'uchar b'Torah." But presumably, it's still necessary to explain why, because no one would suggest that the Torah is in random order. So it doesn't have to do things only in chronological order, but presumably if there is a switch in the order, it's for a reason, it's what Rav Hirsch was saying, because of the inner meaning. So we have to still explain if something is out of place. So why is it out of place? That's also a part of the message of the Torah. So there are various suggestions along those lines, but this is what Rashi has to say over here. So first we're teaching about Korban Pesach in general. So the Pasuk says, Yasu v'nei Yisrael es ha-Pasach v'mo'ado, that the Jews should make the Korban Pesach at its appointed time, which is a phrase that appears again the following Pasuk right away, Barbos ha-yom b'chodesh hazeh bein harbayim tasu oso v'mo'ado k'chol chukosav v'chol mishpatav tasu oso. So you have this word v'oso b'mo'ado in both places, and the two consecutive psukim, and presumably it comes to tell us two things. So the Gemara Maseches Shachim and Afayin Zayin Amud Aleph tells us that this is to convey that this would be brought even on Shabbos. In general, the requirements for bringing a carbon on Shabbos are it has to be a carbon sibur shezmano kavua. It has to be a set time that is associated with the carbon. They can't just bring it a different day. And it has to be a carbon of the Sibur. So here, emphasizing Wado is teaching us that in that status, that she brought even on Shabbos. And also, the next Wado, so the Gemara tells us that that is to teach us that it's brought to Betuma. So even if there is Tuma involved, it's still brought on the correct day. Now, your immediate reaction to that may be, wait a minute, aren't we going to read here about Pesach Sheni, which is all about not bringing the Korban Pesach in the right time because of Tumah. So it depends what we're talking about. That if an individual was coming and couldn't bring the Korban Pesach when everyone else did, he has this makeup date. But in general, we have a rule of Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, that the Tzibur is able to function despite Tumah. So if this would have affected the whole Tzibur, let's say if Rova the Tzibur was Tameh, or if it was something like a Tumah in the Kalim, or a Tumah in the Kohanim, that would have affected the tzibur overall. So then we would bring it even under those circumstances, on the first opportunity, on the 14th, 15th of Nisan. But if an individual is tamei, and he is therefore excluded from what everyone else is doing, so that's where we get the idea of katasheni, as we'll see in a few minutes. It's also noteworthy, as the Gemara derives in the beginning of the Masechta Pesachim on Daf Vav, that this whole discussion, which is happening now Pesach time, but is going to teach us about Pesach Sheni, so that's the source for the idea of Shloshim Yom Kodem Achag, that 30 days before the Yontif, we start teaching about the halachas of Yontif. So Pesach Sheni was being taught about on Pesach Rishon. Now that's really a fascinating idea, because that often gets overlooked. So we assume that this is an idea primarily about Pesach itself. So, for example, Mishnah Berurah and other Svarim, they discuss the question of, do we assume that the 30-day period is particular to Pesach, because Pesach has so many detailed halachos, it would take really much more than a month to learn them thoroughly. But Yontif, like Shavuos, is more compact, and it maybe only needs a week. Do we have different periods that vary depending on how complicated the Yontif is? So that's a discussion overall, but it's noteworthy that the din in its original form wasn't really about Pesach, it was about Pesach Sheni, and it's being taught on Pesach. That's fascinating to consider. And we'll discuss in a minute that that may have some extra symbolic implications as well. So, in any event, so Korban Pesach ideally is going to be at the right time. And that was normally what happened. So he told them to do this. And at least that year, they also was a pasach harishon, v'arvas yom lachodesh b'yom harbayim, b'yom harbayim, b'yom harbayim, v'arvas yom lachodesh b'yom harbayim, b'yom harsinai, k'chol asher tziva Hashem et Moshe, k'enasu b'nei Yisrael. So, okay, so that's what people in general did. However, there were some people who were excluded because they were tamei. So Pasuk Vav continues, "Vahi anashim asher hayu tmeim u'nefesh adam, v'lo yochlu lasos ha-pesach v'yom ha-hu, v'yikrivu l'fnei Moshe v'lfnei Aaron v'yom ha-hu." But there were some people who were tamei and were unable to bring the Korban Pesach at the right time, and they didn't know what to do. So here you see what's left unclear is that we gave the rules for a Korban Tzibur, but how exactly do individuals fit in? Because this is an unusual kind of Korban Tzibur. That normally a Korban Tzibur is brought on behalf of the whole Tzibur, and the individuals don't necessarily have so much to do. But here you have what the Korban Tzibur that requires involvement from the people as individuals also. So what exactly would be the story if some of those individuals were themselves tamei? So that wasn't so clear. So that's what prompted them to ask the question. Overall, the whole relationship between the tzibur and the yachid here requires some additional definition. In the Yerushalmi, the beginning of the ninth parak of Pesachim, there is a machlokas. What happens if there's no Beis HaMikdash for the first Pesach, for Nisan, and it's only built in between the first and the second? So nobody brought for the first one. So the Rambam paskins in Hilchos Korban Pesach and Perek Zayin, Halacha Dalet, that you only have a Pesach Sheni if most of the tzibur are brought a Pesach Rishon. And therefore, it's not going to apply in that case. And what that also teaches us is that Pesach Sheni is not a date that's really fixed in the calendar, but it's simply 30 days after Pesach Rishon was brought. So this is a point that Rav Schechter emphasizes a lot, that Pesach Sheni should not really be seen as any kind of a Yontif. It's just an opportunity to make up for the original Korban Pesach, even though we'll see the language a little bit complicated and a little bit confusing as far as that's concerned. But this idea that it really only exists in relation to Pesach Rishon. So therefore, as Rav Schechter emphasizes, the minig among the Ashkenazim is that they should say Tachnun on Pesach Sheni, because it doesn't have a Yontif status in of itself. And the Sardim has a minig not to say Tachnun, but that perhaps is Zecher to the original practice. But in and of itself, there isn't any particular status to Pesach Sheni. Although, again, the language, we'll see, can get a little bit confusing on that point. So this next post that continues about these people who came with this claim, and it says, V'yomru ha'nashim ha'im ha'ilav, anachnu t'meim l'nefesh adam, lama nigara l'vilti hakriv es karban Hashem v'azol b'sof b'nei Yisrael. So we are tamei, and why should we lose out? So this is a very powerful expression here, and a lot to discuss. That here they're trying to clarify what their opportunities are, what the halacha should be. But the question of lama nigara, why should we lose out? So one could say, well, it happens. You know, people, if you miss the bus, you don't get to go. And if you were sick, so you miss out. And if you were tummy, so you weren't able. So what kind of question is that, lama nigara? And there's a whole sikha about this, say for Gedalia, Gedalia Shor, where he discusses the fact that the notion of missing an opportunity, so even if we say, onas rachmana patre, so they say that if it's not your fault, then you're off the hook. What can you do if you're just unable to do something? It's not going to be held against you. So yeah, it won't be held against you, but it's not going to be credited to you either. There's something that's fundamentally going to be lost. And maybe that suggests that there's something lacking in these individuals, that they missed out on an opportunity, so maybe min ha-shamayim, there's something being held against them, that they shouldn't have this chus. And he discusses in that context, as a comment the Gemara has in Megillah, that the Gemara says when the Pasuk tells us about Mordechai in the end of Megillah's Esther, that he was rotzi l'rayvachas, that most of his brothers liked him, but not all of them. The Gemara says, Parish Meno Mixas Sanhedrin, some of the Talmidei Chachamim of his generation said they didn't want to hang out with him anymore, and they were mad that he was Mevatel Torah. And the Gemara says that you see from there that it seems that Talmud Torah is even greater than Atol's Klal Yisrael. So what do you do with that? I mean, should Mordechai not have saved the Jewish people? So clearly he should have. But the assumption they were making is that the fact that he was forced by circumstances to be Mevatel Torah and spend his time on politics, that maybe indicated some kind of a chisaron in him, some kind of a spiritual chisaron. That was the minority view still, but maybe that was what it was about. So here, they're concerned that maybe the fact that we missed out is something lacking in us. And maybe there's something that is being stated here, being implied. So to that, his point was that we'll see ultimately that they are given another opportunity and they were involved in the Meis Mitzvah and it's not something that reflects at all negatively on them. But the question was, you know, is there something lacking in us that we should have to miss out? Rashi over here tells us that they were also asking that maybe the Kohanim, who were Taharim, so they should bring on their behalf, and even that would only be able to be eaten by those who are Tar. So Moshe Feinstein has a comment here that it's hard to understand, because they still wouldn't be yotze their personal chiyuv then. So he suggests that the message here is to show, again, these are people who are spiritually sensitive, and just as they were worried maybe the bad timing here shows something lacking in them, but also they just expressed a tremendous desire to have some connection to the mitzvah. And if they were going to miss out on the mitzvah, so they wanted to find whatever it is that they could somehow connect to. And that's a tremendously impressive thing. That's a tremendous passion for a mitzvah, even separate from any kind of fulfillment. And there's a whole arichas about this in the Sefer HaMoshe. And one possible implication this has is there's a discussion we've probably mentioned on occasion, the question of, is there any mitzvah in less than a shear of a mitzvah? So let's say somebody has less than a kezayis of matzah, doesn't have the full complement of whatever mitzvah it is, so is there any value in eating that? So there's a lot to discuss about that, but a part of what you see here is that somebody who's seeking to have any kind of connection to the mitzvah, even if he doesn't have the ability to fulfill it perfectly, or even to fulfill it in a minimal way, he's not going to be yotzei. But he's going to have some connection. This is a part of what they were describing here. That's their question. So why should we be left out? What can we do? So hold on, and I'll get the answer from God. What should be? What should be the answer for you people? So davar Hashem Moshe Leimor, davar Abnei Yisrael Leimor, ish ish. So God says back to him, tell the people that ish ish ki yatamei l'nefesh, ovi darach hachoko lachem, ovi darotechem, v'asma pesach l'Hashem. So let's say if there was somebody who was far away or somebody who was tamei, so then b'chodesh hasheni b'arba asayom bein harbayim yatsu oso amatzos m'rovim yuchlu. So then they have this opportunity on Pesach Sheni. The Meshech Chachma has a fascinating comment here based on the Sforno that he understands that the whole notion of this mitzvah coming here is because the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan at that time, was really only commanded after the Chet HaEgel. And that before the Chet HaEgel, so then the notion was, B'chom Akom Asher Azkir HaShmi, whoever God's name will be mentioned is going to be there. Everyone had their own individual connection to the Shechina. So it would have been possible for even any individual to bring a Petumah because he was like a personal Tzibur. So the same din of Tumah Hotra B'tzibur would have applied to individuals also. So it's only now we have to hear about this din of Pesach Sheni, which only comes up once there is now this distinction between the individual and the Tzibur. So we have this idea of Derech HaChoko also, not just Tameh, and the Machokos Rishonim, the Rambam, and Rashi and Tosfos, how exactly to calculate Derech HaChoko. Going to have some fascinating implications for the Beit HaMikdash is restored and now travel is so much faster, so how are we going to define exactly somebody who is too far away to bring the Karban Pesach? That's a whole discussion. But Talmud Yerushalmi notes also that by mentioning these two factors, Tuma and Derech HaChoko, these are really completely different ideas. So the point is the Tarashav Shibahem. The common element here is that somebody who was unable, anusim or shogim even, who were unable to bring the Karban Pesach, for whatever the reason is, so they have this opportunity for Pesach Sheni. It's not only about Tuma, it's about other types of conditions as well. So here, this Chodesh HaSheni, so I mentioned before about the language being a little confusing, so as the Rambam Paskins, that there really is a somewhat subtle formulation here of Pesach Sheni, that it's a regel b'fnei atzmo, that it's got its own independent status, and it's not just a tashlumin for the first day. And therefore, some implications would be that if you have a katnish and a skadol being shnei atzmochem, if you have someone only becomes chayim and mitzvos in between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, or a ger who converts, Rambam Paskins, they would bring a Karban Pesach because it's not just a Tashlumin for the first day. It happens to be its own status, but it only applies to people who are in this category, kind of a complicated kind of mix. And here it invokes Al Matzos and Rorim Yochlu. So here, this Pasuk is subject of a lot of discussion because this is also invoked in the context of Pesach Rishon. And this is where we learn Korach from. This is where the Gemara tells us about what Hillel would do. So there are a lot of details that need to be clarified, that the Maror, the Gemara says, is nowadays Midrabanan, because this pasuk links Maror to Korban Pesach. So if we don't have a Korban Pesach, so Maror is not a Chiyuv. So nowadays we assume Maror is Drabanan. And Matzah, you could have thought the same thing, but the Gemara says no, that because Matzah is repeated also in Sefer Shmos by itself, so there's still a Chiyuv of Matzah nowadays in the Torah. But Maror is different, and there's a lot of discussion that surrounds this. It's a little bit involved. But a part of it, Nechtam Sofer has a truth about this, is that what you see is that Matzah, yes, continues to be Daraisa, but there's two different contexts of Matzah. So there's Matzah as a mitzvah on Pesach night, and there is also Matzah as Hechsher de Pesach, as Matzah that is there in order to supplement the Korban Pesach. So what this pasuk is telling us here is that the Korban Pesach should be eaten with matzah and maror. So that matzah has a different kind of status than the Ikar Mitzvah of matzah min ha-Torah. It's only for Korban Pesach. It's not ma'akeh for Korban Pesach. If you didn't have matzah and maror, you would still be yotzei the Korban Pesach without it, but it's also there to complement the Korban Pesach. So it's only really within that context. So this is something that, again, Rav Schechter emphasizes, that there's no independent mitzvah of matzah that relates to Pesach Sheni, and that there were those who had a practice, nonetheless, nowadays, to eat matzah on Pesach Sheni also, and Chazon Ish didn't like that minute, didn't like that practice. Rav Schechter emphasizes that this is not an independent concept related to Pesach Sheni. So that was invoked. It could come up any time, but a particular 2 years ago, when COVID was just starting at that time, the first Pesach, so there were people who were hospitalized and people who missed the Seder on Pesach, and the question came up about whether Pesach Sheni is a time for them to eat matzah. So that's what the Rav Schechter emphasized, that in addition to the other comments about Pesach Sheni, but that there isn't any independent mitzvah of matzah, it's all from the Korban Pesach. So if you were having the Korban Pesach, you'd have the din to eat it on matzah. But without the Korban Pesach, there isn't any notion of eating matzah on Pesach Sheni. Now, as we mentioned, there still are people who do have the practice to do this. And some, interestingly enough, have the practice to do it during the daytime, which is harder to understand even more so. Because where does that come from? An Indian of eating matzah in the daytime as opposed to the night. So the Sefer Yad Binyamin is written by Binyamin Eliyashiv, Eliyashiv's son. So he suggests that the objection of the Chazon Ish was because of Maltosif, as if we're adding an extra mitzvah that's not really here. So we know that when it comes to Maltosif, there's a big difference if you're extending a mitzvah beyond its parameters within the time of the mitzvah, so then that's a problem of maltosif, and it's less of a problem if it's not in the time of the mitzvah. So if at the night of Pesach Sheni you were to treat it like Pesach Rishon, as having an obligation to eat the matzah again, so that would be problematic. But if you have it during the daytime, so then perhaps it's not the zman of what the mitzvah would be, so maybe that's not a Maltosif concern. Interesting suggestion. So I'll just add one more point about this whole concept of Pesach Sheni Bechlal. So we said before that a part of it is to show that there is this responsibility that could come along if somebody was excluded from a mitzvah because of circumstances. So, yes, onus rachmona padre, but that doesn't necessarily mean that there's nothing to worry about. It could be that the person has some kind of liability that put him in that circumstance, And that could be true spiritually or could be true practically, because what we also see from this whole concept is that a person has to try to factor in what could happen and to be aware of it. Now, in this case, if they're involved in a mace mitzvah, so then that's a good excuse. But otherwise, one could find himself in a circumstance where he's not able to perform the mitzvah, but it's because of a lack of preparation. So that's what we mentioned before. It's interesting that the halacha of preparing for Yontif, Shloshim Yom Kodem HaChag, is actually taught in relation to Pesach Sheni, and that din essentially tells us that before the mitzvah actually comes up, there's an obligation to be prepared, and that's presumably a part of our responsibility. And that's what we find, that that 30-day period is actually the zone for the mitzvah, and that in that time, one is expected to be taking the steps to prepare. And if one doesn't just say, well, what can you do? I was an honest. So if a person, Sukkot night, says they don't have a sukkah because he never thought of putting one up before Sukkot, now it's Sukkot night and he just doesn't have a sukkah. So you don't just say that person is honest. So that's what can you do? It's impossible for him to build a sukkah now. But the hope is that you will prepare in advance. So that's a part of the message also behind the scenes of Pesach Sheni. But it's also striking that Shmos Rabba, the Medrash Rabba, has a comment here that the Meis Mitzvah that they were involved with, a commonly cited idea, was Yosef. They were involved with bringing the bones of Yosef and dealing with that. And that's why they were tummy at that point. And the Medrash says that this itself was in the schus of Yosef, who said he would take care of his brothers in Mitzrayim. And there's a lot to figure out about that whole Medrash, which is also assuming that there's some kind of a schus here, there's some kind of a privilege that Yosef was meriting because of all that. So the Rashiv of Karambiavna of Goldwich has a whole essay about this, where he explains that you see that the godless of these people, like we alluded to before, they had this tremendous desire to be involved in mitzvah on some level. And similarly, here where the circumstances are stacked against them, but they're not satisfied to say, okay, you can't, so throw your hands up, but they're seeking some path to be connected to this mitzvah, to maybe fulfill this mitzvah. So that is itself a tremendous chus, and that's why they merit to have a parsha in the Torah, have a section in the Torah added because of them, and for human beings to be the cause of an expansion in Torah Shevichtav is a fascinating thing. It's only Yisro, other than this, who was the cause of extra psukim put in the Torah, maybe also Nafslochaz, there's what to talk about. But here, the fact that they are meritorious to this extent, that they cause an extra din to be taught in the Torah, that's a big schus. So that schus comes from the fact that they had such a desire to fulfill a mitzvah, even when all the circumstances would say, listen, it's not your year, but they weren't satisfied with that, and they kept pushing. So that was something that was a tremendous merit for them, and therefore they were privileged to create an expansion in the Torah. And as the Rashi even notes, so this is all the midah of Yosef, that Yosef, who went down to Mitzrayim in a context in which he was so separated from anything spiritual and religious, and yet found a way to bridge, found a way to uphold his spiritual character, even in that environment, and therefore to set the table for his father and brothers to be able to come join him. So that is an unbelievable merit, and that's what later on others were able to reflect and to draw upon. So one of the additional messages here is this tremendous koach that comes with those who are committed one way or another to find spiritual fulfillment and to accomplish the word of God, even if they would otherwise be putter. And that's a big part of the message of Pesach Sheni and of its continuing effect on us. And it this ongoing message. That's something to think about. We read this very packed parsha with so many different ideas. Here, this Aliyah of Pesach Sheni itself contains so much for us to reflect upon for all areas of life. We should all have an amazing Shabbat.